Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Om Shri Sai Ram. Good morning, dear listeners, and welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live. You're tuned to our Asia stream coming to you live from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe, the abode of supreme peace, where Sri Satya Sai Avatar spent all 85 years of his avataric mission promoting universality, religious tolerance, interfaith acceptance and dialogue. He taught us that every name of God is valid, every path to God is valid, and every hymn sung in His glory is valid. On that all-inclusive note, let us begin Morning Glory on this Thursday, June the 4th, 2015, with a musical rendition of the Sarvadharma song sung fairly often in the Sai prayer sessions. So here is Buddha Zoroastra Ishu, Sai Waheguru Waheguru Bol Manwa, and this will be followed by the 90th birthday theme audio prepared specially by the creative geniuses at Radio Sai. Please enjoy.
Thank you. प्रेम स्वरूप ला रहे हैं.
हैप्पी 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 बी हैप्पी 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 मेक अदर्स हैप्पी ऑल विल बी हैप्पी गॉड विल बी हैप्पी.
ईश्वराय विद्महे सत्यदेवाय धीमहि तन्नः सर्व प्रचोदयात्. ईश्वराय विद्महे सत्यदेवाय धीमहि तन्नः सर्व प्रचोदयात्.
Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome back. My name is Karuna, and it's my divine privilege to be hosting the segment called Morning Glory. We are coming to you live from the Radio Sai Studios on Thursday morning, June the 4th, 2015. The local time in Prashanthi Nilayam, India right now is exactly 48 minutes past 9 a.m. That is Indian Standard Time. You just heard the 90th birthday theme, Sai Shwarai Vidmahe. And prior to that, I played for you Buddha Mahavir, the instrumental rendition. Both these pieces of music were created by the creative geniuses who are part of Team Radio Sai, and I hope you enjoyed them. Thank you so much for staying with us on this rather pleasant Thursday morning. Yeah, you heard it right. Prashanthi Nilayam is quite pleasant these days as the temperatures have dropped after a few pre-monsoon downpours that we had lately. And please, don't let the news about the heat wave in Telangana confuse you in any way. Puttaparthi is not in Telangana. We are a part of Andhra Pradesh, and our Divine Valley is way cooler than the rest of this district, thanks to the greening and the afforestation that has happened here over the past 40 or so years. And for many of us, it is the daily chantings and the prayers that have further taken the edge of the heat here and transformed this hamlet into a all-season spiritual spa destination. Current weather conditions in Prashanthi Nilayam? Fairly comfortable, and they call for overcast skies with the chance of some thunder and rain activity later in the day. Temperatures, minimum 24 degrees Celsius and maximum 36 degrees Celsius. The breeze is reasonably pleasant, especially in the mornings and after sunset. And there is a definite hint of humidity in the air. Meanwhile, here's what's making news at this hour in Prashanthi Nilayam. The Abode of Supreme Peace has once again had the wonderful annual recharge. The weather has changed for the better, and Baba's beloved students are back. And they're back in thousands, along with their parents and chaperones. And Bhagwan always loved having his students back in the ashram, and we too just love them back because the school energy in the mandir makes all the difference. Suddenly the pitch of the Vedam, the chorus of the bhajans becomes sharper as it is charged by the little voices of the primary school children, as well as the deep voiced rendition or recitation rather by the university students. So with the resumption of the academic year 2015/16, our slice of heaven is once again up and running full throttle, thanks to Bhagwan for all is well in our part of the world. And I'm sure while the students and the parents must have enjoyed their 2 months of togetherness over the summer, in the ashram we just can't wait to have them back. Somehow without the students, the Mandir audio and the Mandir energy seem incomplete. Swami said it so perfectly when he declared that his only property are his students, and today we realize this truth more than ever before. And now coming to you, dear sisters and brothers, you are our dearest siblings. So Team Radio Sai takes this opportunity and the liberty to remind you that Guru Purnima is coming up next month on Friday, July the 31st, 2015. And that is an ideal time for you to come home and receive the heavenly blessings from the Mahasannidhi. We hope you have already planned your trip home to Prashanthi Nilayam for Guru Purnima next month. If not, now is the time to pray and start planning and packing for this trip. Guru Purnima falls on a Friday, that is July 31st, so you can take a couple of days off before Guru Purnima and make it a long weekend here at his lotus feet. The Divine Mother awaits to embrace you with open arms, and we urge you to be here next month, as Guru Purnima truly is an ideal time to energize ourselves and intensify our personal sadhana. Actually, I stand corrected. Any time is perfect for being in Prashanthi Nilayam. In fact, right now the Divine Valley is welcoming seekers that are arriving here every single day from every single part of this vast country and from all over the world, all through the day and often at night as well. The ashram is unusually busy in a happy sense, and the feeling of joy is quite palpable in the faces of, among others, the happy parents whose children have just joined one of the many schools and colleges founded by Bhagwan Baba. As a matter of fact, as I was driving to work this morning, I couldn't but notice the excitement on the faces of the many out-of-towners that wait outside the Sri Satya Sai Space Theatre for entry into our planetarium. And just so you know, our planetarium, also known as the Sri Satya Sai Space Theatre, is located here in Prashanthi Nilayam, and lately it has become very popular. So we took in the various suggestions from our visitors, and we are now running a pilot program wherein we provide wireless headphones to our visitors. This allows them to listen to the show in a language of their choice. Currently we offer English, Hindi and Telugu channels, and for some shows we even have a Malayalam translation available. And we have a set of about 100 headphones which we distribute to visitors who wish to listen to the show in a language other than the one which is being played out on the speaker. We choose the language to be played on the speaker based on the majority choice. For example, we had Hindi shows for the last few days because we had a large Hindi speaking population visiting the planetarium. Then on Sunday, the Telugu crowd was larger, so we played it in Telugu. The rest can use headphone and pick a language. If they do not understand Telugu, they can pick a language of their choice. Probably in October, we plan to make Tamil available, since Tamil Nadu Seva Dal will be doing their duty in that month. And dear listeners, for your information, we have shows daily except on Wednesday. Show duration is about half an hour. Entry is open up till 10:30 a.m. Number of shows, well, that depends on the size of the crowd. We have one, two or more shows so that everyone who arrives before 10:30 a.m. is accommodated, and the capacity of our theatre is 180. All this information that I shared with you is freely available on the website www.saispace.in. I repeat, SaiSpace is one word, SaiSpace.in for India. So next time you're in town, please be sure to catch a show, lest you assume that only city folks have theatres to go to. Our Bhagwan has given us everything right here in Prashanthi to nurture our body, mind and soul. It's just that our entertainment is of a higher caliber in the space theatre. I know I sound like a brag, but I just mean it from my heart. Should you, and I say it with humility, so no offense to our listeners. Should you wish to learn more about the planetarium, better known as the Sri Satya Sai Space Theatre, I repeat once again, please visit us at saispace.in. And do schedule a show in your itinerary when you're visiting us next time. And now for the lineup of programs on Morning Glory today. Feature presentation this morning, part one of a brand new episode of Learning with Love. Remember, Learning with Love is our new variant of Tryst with Divinity. Is Tryst with a twist? So my colleague, Brother Bishu Prushti, in conversation with Professor Sudhir Bhaskar of the Sai University. And apart from this interview, I will also play some pleasing music this morning to keep you all blissed out on Morning Glory. But first, over to part one of Learning with Love with Professor Sudhir Bhaskar of the Sri Satya Sai University. Please have a listen and enjoy.
Sairam, dear listeners, I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu and I'm delighted to welcome you to our occasional series, Learning with Love. Learning with Love is a variant of our Tryst with Divinity conversations with a value-added component. It is a sort of a Tryst with Divinity series, but with a twist. The difference is, in these interviews, people who have been touched by the love of Bhagwan share the lessons that they have learned from their association with Swami in clear, concise and candid manner, so that the take-home message for us is conveyed in no ambiguous terms. And listening to their life experiences with Swami and how they have made these lessons their mantras for life, we can learn to live and replicate these precious principles in our lives too. And I am indeed honored to have in the studio now for this special episode of Learning with Love, Professor Sudhir Bhaskar, a very familiar and spirited inmate of the Prashanti Nilayam Ashram. He is known for his enthusiasm, his energy, initiative, innovation, planning, perfect execution, and above all, being such a blessed instrument of Bhagwan, to whom Swami from time to time entrusted many crucial and extremely important and prized responsibilities. Someone who has walked with Bhagwan, someone who has seen those facets of Swami which only those who have had the chance to serve the Lord at very close quarters will get to witness. Someone who has had his share of moments of supreme ecstasy and cataclysmic agony too. Someone who has been personally and directly chiseled by the Lord to make him the exceptional figure he is today. Today is August 30th, 2014 and until recently he was the director of the Prashanti Nilayam campus of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Earlier he was the dean of the Department of Management Studies here in Prashanti Nilayam. He has more than 3 decades of teaching, research and consulting experience in the areas of quality management, re-engineering, marketing electives, complex problem solving, corporate social responsibility and rural development and so on. After his bachelor's in engineering in RAC Warangal, which is now called NIT, he did his master's in technology from the prestigious IIT Madras and he topped it with a fellowship in management, which is equivalent to PhD from IIM Bangalore. So again, all his degrees come from very, very premier institutes of the country. And before joining Bhagwan's University in 1988, he worked for 6 years in TCS, Tata Consultancy Services, one of India's leading companies in IT and IT services. Plenty of awards and accolades have come his way. He was awarded the Rashtriya Gaurav Award and the Certificate of Excellence by India International Friendship Society in 2011. One of the research scholars under his supervision was adjudged Outstanding Doctoral Management Student Award 2010 by AIIMS International, which is Association of Indian Management Scholars International. He has over 45 publications in referred national and international journals. He is a visiting faculty in the Indian Institute of Science Bangalore, in IIPM Bangalore, Institute of Administration Hyderabad, and so on. The list is long. But as I said before, more than all this, what is special about him is this exceptional relationship that he shared with Bhagwan at the physical level, working and serving him at a level which very few people have got to witness and experience. And that is something very unique, very precious and immensely pertinent for you, for me and for posterity. And it is this, dear listeners, that we want to capture today, at least some glimpses of it. I forgot to mention that he is the one who is to always take the lead under Bhagwan's direct supervision to guide the planning and execution of the Sri Satya Sai Grama Seva project, you know, every year all the students of Bhagwan's institutions go out and serve in the villages, in the surrounding areas during the Dasara season, and he has been the one instrumental in organizing this mammoth project for the boys leading from the front. So, with great pleasure, without saying any more words, I welcome you, sir, to Learning with Love. Thank you so much for being with us in the studios.
Sairam to all. Thank you, Bishu. I think, you know, you have used more words than, you know, I really deserve. Why I say that is, what I am today was only possible by His divine will, by His grace, and His love, which He has been showering on me and my family for the last, I would say, close to 55 years.
55 years, that's a long time.
Those late 50s onwards.
Yes.
But of course, a very small child at that time. I mean, that could be a different interview by itself.
Yes.
But my interaction, though I had my interviews with Swami much before, I was very serious follower and a practitioner of what Swami was saying from the year 1977 when I joined the Sevadal.
As the Sevadal and Satyaseva organization.
Yeah. At that time, I was working in Baroda. And I got enrolled here during Shivratri celebrations.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the time when I got an opportunity to sit behind Swami Jula.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And also have the privilege of, you know, swinging the Jula.
Yes.
Which, you know, normally, you know, it was very rare.
Rare. Actually.
And it became much rare after 1995 because 1995 was the last time Swami sat in the Jula. And I'm really pleased to mention that that was the last time when Swami sat. I also was behind the Swami's Jula.
Yeah, I know.
And I had the greatest blessings of Bhagwan.
Mm.
And one other thing was the interaction which he used to have when Swami was sitting in the Jula and looking back and giving instructions whether the swing should be a little faster, slower.
Oh, okay.
How much more it should be and all that. You know, that's a really thrilling moment. Mm. Because that can be a separate topic for discussion. When you mentioned about this topic, what actually occurred to me is that in English literature, most of them analyze either the authors or the characters which are trying to portray based on three aspects, three lives as they call it, the public life, the private life, and something now which people those days and even now dread is the secret life of the individual.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I say that, you know, public life and private life everybody knows. Is all public. The secret life is something, you know, which the individual whom we are analyzing would like to keep it secret.
Hmm.
Because it has a wrong connotation or a negative connotation with him. And he would not like to be reminded about it. So he would like to keep it in the farthest recess of his memory so that he never tries to visit it. But as human psychology is that, no, these are the things which have a reflection both on the public and private life. So though we don't know his secret life, but looking and understanding these two aspects, they are able to get the glimpse of what his secret life is.
Mm-hmm.
In English literature, most often than not, they look at it more as a negative of what has happened or what he did.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when it comes to, I analyze it looking at, in the life of a devotee or a serious sadhaka, also we have these three lives. We have the public life, we also have the private life. But more importantly, we also have the secret life. And what is the secret life? The secret life is not like what we are discussing, like English literature, something which you dread. On the contrary, for a serious sadhaka, these are most cherished, most memorable, most valued, and most remembered by him.
Perhaps so precious that he wants to keep it just to himself.
But they are the defining moments in his personal life and to himself, which occasionally gets reflected in his private life and possibly into his public life.
Beautiful.
Now, the point here which I'm trying to drive is the secret life which you are talking about, which is so enamoring, so beautiful. The thing is, he does not like to share it. For the simple reason that not that he is going to lose it. Possibly because the people are going to listen, may not understand it.
Exactly.
Because all these movements have got a relationship to his life and the context in which it happens.
Yes.
What you call samayam, sandarbham, Swami calls it. Based on that, it makes a meaning.
Yes.
And if even I, if I...
In isolation, they may not...
Understand or appreciate as much as it exactly. made an impact on the individual life.
Yes.
And individuals.
Yes.
So, if he was to tell all those things, it will take almost, you know, 3-4 hours just to tell one aspect and people lose interest.
Correct.
So, that is the thing which you know. But after you asked me about it, what I was thinking is, possibly in the last 3 years, the time has come, at least those who are willing should be able to open up themselves, at least share those moments with Swami which they had, and more importantly, how the learning of that made an impact on the individual to change. Because Swami, when he takes an avatar, he has come with a purpose. And that purpose purely is transformation. All other things are added to it. Now you look at Rama avatar, now Krishna avatar, any avatar you look at, there are other things which are added. But the core of all that is only one thing, which is transformation. So in that type of situation, if you look at these defining moments which you talk about for an individual, apart from us who are Swami's devotees, it could also be based on what you call a master, a guru, or divinity himself. And we can find a lot of these examples when we discuss individually of those people who are serious sadhakas, that you know, they had had those defining moments. Why I'm saying is, you know, it's necessary for us to share is, at least this will enthuse the people who are listening to go forward in the direction of sadhana.
Yes.
And you take the first step, as Swami says, he's going to take the next 100 steps. But the first thing Swami expects is you take the first step. So, I only personally feel maybe these are some of the things which can really inspire the people.
Absolutely.
How it can really make a small, it may be small, it may be a small change in you. But how the small changes make a, such a big thing over a period of time. And many times, you know, we see things happen, we look at it, observe it and forget it, not realizing that, you know, it is meant for us to learn something from that. So, one of the ideas which I have is, maybe through this, it may be incident, maybe a simple small thing, but it communicates something if you are really interested in learning and being able to change in you. I thought that could be the one of the reasons. I mean,
definitely.
The way I look at it, because I'm a faculty member by profession.
Yes.
So, I always look at, you know, who is going to be the audience or who is listening to me.
I think what you're sharing is absolutely so relevant, because I think the time has come, as you mentioned, to come out with all those experiences which have redefined our spiritual journey, which have given proper direction on our spiritual path. And as you very rightly said, there are so many who'd really benefit, because you know everybody is on that path and everybody is looking for direction, and those of us who have had the chance to get this directly from Swami,
correct,
once we share, I think so many people will be able to relate to it, they'll yeah. be able to hold on to it and, you know, get inspiration and courage and confidence to move on the path. So,
and also Swami has many times has said, to whom much is given, much is expected.
Yes.
In our case, or others also who are like us, what is much expected from them? One, practice it first.
Yes.
Through their practice and their actions, preach. Not through words. I thought these are the things, you know, which is demanded of us.
Yes.
As of now. And there are a number of examples. There are a number of simple people who have been practicing it. And they are becoming inspirations for a lot of other people around.
Absolutely.
You go to any town, any samiti, any area, you will find such people are already there.
Gems, really. Yeah.
And, I mean, that list is so long, you know, we can't even compile it. As I mentioned, you know, in 76, I joined a company in Baroda, now called Vadodara. And 77, I came to have Swami's darshan for Shivratri. And that day, after seeing that Lingodbhavam, it was so thrilling. I mentally made up my mind that, Swami, come what may, every year, when you are in Puttaparthi, for Shivratri, I will come.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you go some other place, I am from a lower middle class family, I can't afford to go anywhere around so easily. So that was the resolution I made. I said, Swami, my intention is there. It is for you to make it happen. And from that time onwards, almost on a daily basis, some miracle or other is to happen in my life. that place, because I used to stay alone there. And it was something, you know, a different world itself. But the one which I would like to narrate is after I became Sevadal, every Sunday we used to go to the Maharaja Sayaji General Hospital for service. And we used to go between 3 and 4, when we used to go to a ward which was called as orthopedics ward. The reason why the organization chose that was that week after week if we go, an orthopedic patient is likely to be in the hospital for 3-4 weeks. So there's a possibility for us to see him or her and interact and bring about a small, you know, solace in them.
More chance of continued interaction.
And second thing is, these are the places where it's unlikely there will be any infection. You will not communicate to them, nor will they communicate to you. You go to any infectious or no other wards, government will not allow, the doctors will not allow, because you don't know what you are going to bring it to them.
Correct.
So that was the basic intention. One Sunday when we went, since we were already familiar with the people, and then we saw in one bed there was a new person who has been an inpatient. So we just looked at the person and we found he was slightly elderly and he was just, you know, late 20s, a young fellow, not married. And along with him was there's a brother and sister-in-law. So as usual, now we used to go and say Sairam and then find out, you know, what happened. We found that his left leg was amputated. So we just casually, just, you know, start the conversation, we asked him what happened. The brother was saying that, no, he was going along the tractor and he slipped and fell down. And wheel went over his leg and from a rural village. And there was no way they could provide any treatments and they had to do the amputation in the local whatever hospital was there. And as part of post-op care, they were not able to take care properly and there was a lot of infection. So they suggested they come to this general hospital. So that's why he got admitted. So we told a few nice words, you know, just to pep them up so they'll be able to bear it. The following week when we went, he was little down. Then he showed his hand saying that, no, look, there's a lot of, no, anemia which is setting in. I'm not getting proper treatment. Please help us. We are Sevadal. We have got certain rules. We don't interfere with the type of, no, medical treatment which is being done. Whatever drug administration has been done. Because the moment we start interfering, then the hospital authority will say, please find your way out. That was not the intention. Then we said, don't worry, it will happen like this. But no, I'm quite sure the doctors who are looking after, they're very eminent people, they know what they're doing. Told them that, no, it'll take time because it doesn't go off so easily. Be patient. The following week when we went, we found that he was more desperate. Pain was high, nothing was happening. He was become pale. Almost, you know, at breakdown point, he said, sir, please help us. Please talk to the doctors. If the medicines are not available in the hospital, better medicines are needed. Please ask them to tell us either we will buy it and after begging some money from somebody or people like you could help us out. Please help us. Please help us. Though however much we may be wanting to do certain things, it's not so easy to do it. So, but now we told something. We said, okay, we'll find out. Do whatever is possible. But don't worry. We'll be taken care. And we gave him the vibhuti packet and told nice things. The following week when we went, that means the fourth week, we found all three of them were very cheerful.
Oh.
So we thought maybe our prayers and maybe their resilience, whatever, or maybe the doctors themselves have done something, thought there was a turnaround. When we went to find out details, his condition was same as last week. There was no change in his medical condition.
Physical condition.
Physical condition. But he was little, all three of them were better. Mood-wise, mentally. So we thought, what's this transformation which has taken place in them? So I asked them, hey, what happened? Then they said, see sir, who's on my bedside? Neighbor. We saw, few days before only, I believe, a baby which was less than 12 weeks was on the cot. And was having a traction on the right leg.
Oh my God.
Because there was a hip dislocation. In medical terminology, if you are putting a traction, you know what they do? Below the knee, they'll put a rod through the bone.
Oh my God, for an infant.
and then they put a pulley, and at the end of the pulley, they put weight so that the whole thing gets, because of dislocation, the bone has to be stretched, so they come back to position so that it can fit into the original location. And we saw the end, the weight was 16 bricks. 12 weeks old baby having a weight at the end, 16 bricks. I mean, all of us almost broke down. Okay, we have met a hurt, but seeing it. So we asked the mother, "Mother, what happened? Such a small child, hip dislocation." Then she was saying, few days before, she was sitting on the ground, on the floor, with the baby in the lap and doing cooking. Suddenly she had to bend to lift the vessel because it was overflowing. In the process of bending and lifting, the baby rolled over her lap.
Oh no.
So what's the gap between the lap and the ground? 4 inches, 5 inches, 6 inches? That means baby just rolled over and fell. And in that fall, had the hip dislocation. If you ask anybody, any doctor, for such a young child, it's impossible to have anything, because even if the child falls from 10 feet or 12 feet, normally, because of the plasticity of the body and the bones and everything, normally, 80 to 90% of the time, nothing happens to the child. This is only about 6 inches. Mother said, "We got dislocated. We went to the local quack and others. They couldn't do anything, so we brought the child here." Then this person was saying, the young boy's brother, saying, "Look, the child is just 12 weeks old. What bad thing could it have done in this life for to have the suffering? Is the suffering only to the child? Suffering is to the mother. Suffering to all the family members. What bad could it have done?" And when I look at my brother, who is about 20 plus, possibly in this life would have done so many things wrong, for which now he is, the word, you know, bhagtara, that means he is going through all the particular thing which he has been. And then you find, it is not because of what you did today. Possibly the child must have done something the previous birth. And then he said, if that is the case, what about my own son, brother? And the child, you know, after some time, you know, it was laughing and then moving his hands and leg and other things, because the other leg, you know, which is in the traction of the stretcher, it can't move. But all other things, it was able to move and then smile and other things. If that child with that much of pain is able to enjoy, why we cannot? So this is all purely based on karma. And the lesson for us was that if we can bear this with
a smile,
it makes that much more bearable and possibly cure much faster.
Yes.
And the following week went, he was already discharged.
Already discharged. Wow.
That means, you know, what it says, you know, like, you know, Swami always says, you do it with a little bit of love, with little concern, and little bit of, you know, that extra you give, the miracles will happen. Because yes. Swami wants the first step. So that he'll take the rest of the 99 steps, 100 steps to make the change. So that day, of course, I have not read much of, you know, Swami's literature and philosophy and other things, because meaning engineering and other things, you know, your head is full of those number systems. Then that was the thing which gave me a lesson of what karma theory is. And if this is what we had to go through it, why not we go through it willingly?
Willingly. Absolutely. You benefit more in every way.
And not only you. If you are happy or smiling or, you know, bearing, then the other members of the family who have not been responsible for your act of your previous birth or whenever it was, they also become happy to go through the whole process.
Yes.
So this was a very great lesson which I learnt in 77.
Take everything with a smile. Whatever is happening to you, there is no other way it could have happened.
In fact, once Swami told, after one incident which happened in 1991, not a pleasant one, Swami said that, "Look, I was physically present there when this event was happening in your life. It had to happen. Others, I didn't intervene."
Swami told you that. It had to happen.
And on another occasion, Swami was interacting with us. Swami said that, "Look, please understand, once you surrender to me, I will never allow anything wrong to happen to you. Please take it, whatever happens to you is only good for your life.
Only good for your life. Wow.
It just brings about a totally different way of looking at life and events which are happening, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's powerful, sir. Once you surrender to me, you know that whatever is happening, it is good for you.
It is best for you.
It is best for you.
And once Swami also said in Telugu, but I'll tell in English, even in your dream, even by mistake, you say once, Swami, I am yours, you are mine. And after making the statement, he says, sorry, I made a mistake, I want to withdraw the statement. Swami said, once it has come out of your lips, I will hold on to you for rest of the time. You are under me, you cannot be out of me. Look at whatever assurance Swami has given.
Phenomenal.
And couple it with what we are talking about, the lesson of both karma theory as well as the protection Swami is giving, saying that I will not allow anything wrong to happen to you unless that is the best for you. The incident in 91 was not a pleasant one for us. But on hindsight, after the event, after some years, we found that, no, possibly it was the best thing which could have happened. But can we? But the point is, because we are seekers, we are sadhakas, when we are going through that particular event, going through that particular phase, can we take it in the right spirit? And Swami always expects us that.
Yes.
Because does Swami like any of us to be morose in front of him? Or Swami called castile faces?
He hated castile faces.
Okay, that's the word which... Why? Why? Because if you feel bad something happened to you, please understand Swami is feeling 100 times more bad about what has happened to you.
That is amazing.
And if you really love him, would you like him to go through it?
Go through it.
So this was the type of lesson which I learned with just a simple one. A baby, 12 weeks old. I've been in and out of hospitals as a patient, as a Sevadal fellow was serving. And all the medical camps which are conducted in Puttaparthi by Andhra Pradesh, I was always a volunteer who used to come. I've seen a lot of sufferings. Not that I've not seen. But point, this had made so much of impact on me. And especially the interpretation which that young man gave about karma theory. I think it really stuck to me.
Yes. All those experiences, once you came to Bhagwan and got more clarity about life and the karma and God's assurance, I think all the things became even more clear and even more confirmed in you.
More than that, it actually gives me a lot of satisfaction that, look, I have finally come to a person whom people call God or whatever it may be, who has got the capacity and ability to take care of such things which are beyond human comprehension.
Absolutely.
And since we cannot understand anything, and that the only person who can tell us something about it is only God, because He is the creator of everything else. So that is the reason why, you know, we say. But nevertheless, I mean, the joy which I get, I came in 88, as you have mentioned it. From that day till date, as you put, I have the same enthusiasm to go to Mandir.
Really?
I am the first person then, I am the first person even
absolutely
now to go to.
That never changes in you.
Why? I'm not trying to boast about myself. If that is the type of thing which I got by doing at that time all the joy of being with Swami and Swami showering so much on me, why should I not do it today? People may say that, no, He's not there. I always tell them, for me He's there. You are not able to see, I'm able to see it. I'm able to see Him. He interacts with me, He talks to me, He answers all my questions. More than that, He solves all my problems. Why did we all come to God in the first place? Because we came with only baggage, isn't it?
Yes.
The bundles of problems, and we want Him to solve. That's how everybody has come. There is no person I know who has come only as a, no, for a pure joy they have come. So if that is the case, even now when He is taking care, why should I not be doing it? I'll tell you a few more things, you know, as we go down.
Sure.
Which really confirms that, no, one, He is there. Second one is that He is taking care. So that's the one which, you know, I would like to impress on people.
Sure.
Especially people who have not had the benefit of seeing Swami, interacting with Him. For them also is going to be reassurance. It's a reassurance for all of them that, no, look, you still have Him. He still will do what you want. But please remember, what He does is for your best.
Absolutely. Whatever you experience in life, once you have come to Him, once you have surrendered to Him, know that it is for
that
you.
Surrender is not people wait till telling, say, no, Swami, I'll do whatever you say. That is not, I'm not talking about the surrender. The surrender which I gave the thing, even out of mistake, in my mind, in a dream, I slipped and told that, Swami, I'm yours and you are mine.
That's it.
That is surrender. That aspect you are able to hold, that is the end of it. And you will not let
God is
go.
Just waiting to...
For you to make that slip. Let us put it that way.
Well, I mean, no limit to the compassion, that's why.
That's why, when you say Swami is 1,000 mothers, that's what it really means, isn't it? Okay, I'd like to go on to another one.
Sure, sir, please.
This happened in Kodaikanal in one of our visits to with Swami. There was a student who passed out with MSc Chemistry from the institute, and he was working in Mysore, in that Central Food Technology Research Institute labs which is there. And all of us know, and many others who have heard would know, that no, seeing Swami in Kodaikanal, or experiencing Swami in Kodaikanal, or being part of the entourage of Swami in Kodaikanal, is something which is beyond description.
A lifetime opportunity.
Not a life, I mean, I don't know how many births. How many births, no. Let us say, I've come with every avatar of Swami, let us say. But in every avatar, did He take me to some place to give me this experience? I'm not sure. So, that is the thing. All the world students who did not have an opportunity to go with Swami, they all tried to come. So this boy also had come. And you know, these places don't pay very much. So whatever money he was able to save, he brought the money and stayed. And when Swami is there, Kodaikanal is very expensive. So money was almost getting over, whatever he brought. Maybe one more day he could stay and go back. So previous day, he was holding a letter in Swami. Swami did not take the letter. Then Swami called him to come to Sai Sruti inside, along with the other boys. And now Swami was talking. Then called the boy and said, whatever Swami would have got letters during darshan were kept on a table stool by the side of him, the charpai.
Yes.
Swami called him and said, from this stack of letters, take any one letter. Pull out one letter. So the boy, you know, looked at and pulled out one letter. And then Swami said, open that letter. So he opened the one edge. Then Swami said, take out what is inside. So he put his finger inside, two fingers, and pulled out. And from there inside came a 500 rupee note. Then Swami looked at him and said, this is what you asked for, isn't it? You wanted 500 rupees so that you could stay for a few more days. Take it.
You were witness to this.
And he was so very happy. The boy was happy. It didn't stop there. See, Swami always uses an opportunity to give a lesson for us to learn for the rest of our life. Then Swami said, you asked for 500, I gave 500. But suppose you would have asked me, Swami, I want to stay. Please take care of me. I would have given all the money which is needed for you to stay here.
Wow. He said that.
Just couple it with what I told in the previous. We should allow Him to decide what should be bestowed on us. We should not seek what we want.
Because many times we do not know what is good for us.
And that's why in Telugu Swami says, no, adigina kolladi, aduguna padunnadi. That means the more you ask, it goes in the bottom of the tray. But you just hold your hands together and pray, Swami, please take care.
You know what is best.
The best way he could think of, no, which could be even beyond your imagination.
Absolutely.
Or your comprehension, what you would have thought about, all that he would have done for you. So that day I realized, never ask.
Never ask. Just trust Him.
Just say, thank you, Swami. Please take care. Only thing which you should pray, Swami, please take care. How best or what should be, it will be up to Him. We leave it to Him. Like I said, He cannot do something which is not appropriate for us.
Absolutely.
He can only do what is best for us.
I always feel that you cannot have a better well-wisher for you than God.
Then we can think about ourselves also. So that's one thing, you know, which was very...
Amazing, sir.
...thing which got stuck in my mind. So many times when boys and others or devotees come and ask, I say, just say, Swami, please take care. That is enough. That one sentence is enough. You don't need to give a big list. Swami, this health problem is there, this job problem is there, this friend problem is there, this money problem is there. You don't give any checklist. You just say, Swami, please take care. He knows how best to take care of you. So that's one thing is, you know, I feel it, which is applicable for anybody.
Very important life.
Anybody, it is applicable. Okay, moving on to the next one. This was narrated to me, but you know, it did make a very deep impact.
Mm-hmm.
Because this was narrated by a student of mine who experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are associated, all of them I know. So, and it's not something which was told out of any out of context. It was all working with pure truth. Swami, when he was staying in that old mandir here, after lunch, you know, Swami spent some time in the interview room with people who stay inside. So this boy was also there. And possibly a few days before, somebody had gifted a packet to Swami. It was lying in one corner. Swami, when he came and sat down on the throne, Swami said, "Hey, open that, let's what is inside it. Please remember, he's God, he knows everything. Let's not make mistake about it. But the rest of it is only drama for purpose of teaching. Okay? Swami said, just open the box. So the boy opened the box. Others also were there. He opened the box. Say, what is inside, show? So he took out. It was the top-end SLR camera.
Mm-hmm. Which year did this happen?
92. So he took out. For the boy also, it was new. Because now, all of us middle class, you know, you're getting a top-end SLR. So Swami asked, hey, yala panchestundi, how does it work? So, you know, you have to fit the lens to it, you have to put the, everything, you know, you have to show. So, Swami is so inquisitive, like a small child. Hey, what is this? What is that? Why you are doing this? What happens if you do this? All that Swami was asking him. He and others were trying to explain to Swami all this. I mean, this is where we fall into the delusion. Then Swami, while doing it, suddenly pressed the click button.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment he pressed, you know, SLR camera makes a noise.
Yes.
Yes. So, the moment he made that noise, Swami said, hey, did I spoil your camera? Did I spoil the camera? He said.
Swami said.
You get startled. And then Swami said, hey, did I spoil the camera? He said, no, Swami, picture has been taken. Oh, is there a film in it? Which is a standard, you know, question Swami always asks, you know, you got a camera with you. Is there a film? So, he said, film is there? He said, yes, Swami, film is there. Ah, manchidi. And then, the pleasant part. Swami said, keep it with you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a gift given to him. So he was thrilled. Now, when you have a camera, you get a lot of chances which are no photos which you cannot imagine. No, outside taking something, something you take inside, you know, where you get that opportunity. So he said that, no, I should be the best photographer. I should take the best possible pictures. So he was trying to learn what setting, what angles, you know, what speed, you know, all those things he was trying to learn by taking different types of pictures in different locations to learn how to. So he took all that and film is about 36 photos. Once I got exhausted, those days nothing was possible to develop here. It was sent to Bangalore. With one of the persons who was there with Swami, it was sent to Bangalore. And it came back after 4-5 days. And then very eagerly this boy asked him, hey, how did my photos come? And the person said with his mischievous smile, look at yourself. So he opened the cover and took out the photographs. One by one he took out. All of them either out of focus, or there was no proper image, or nothing could be seen. 35 photos were like that. The first photo which was clicked, Swami was perfectly seen in that.
Wow.
Now just imagine the situation. You're assembling, you're moving, and suddenly Swami, that means you are not focused it on Swami.
Yes.
To take the photo. It happened accidentally with whatever position or setting it was. Then the other person was telling him, please remember this point. That photo came perfectly well. Why? Because the lens was towards Swami. And please learn, you are getting a chance to be with Swami. That should be your focus. Nothing else. Then while discussing, it came out, if you focus everything on Swami, all pictures will be clear.
Yes.
You focus away from Swami, nothing will be clear.
Clear.
Just look at in our lives.
Absolutely.
Whenever we keep thinking about Swami or making Swami happy or doing things which we can offer to Swami as a perfection, as an offering to Swami, all of them will be perfect.
And so many things will happen, you'll think things are just falling into place.
You just deviate away from Swami, in your vision, do things which are not oriented towards that, you will all have a lot of slip shots. The number of instances which I can tell, but no, it won't be nice to tell in a public forum during the water project, during super special hospital. So many things have happened. A lot of them are fantastic things, but there are slip shots also, because the focus got just diverted. So when it was narrated to me, I was there actually, not inside the interview room, but now I was associated with all the boys who were part of this, and they shared. That touched me again, saying that, look, possibly we have got an opportunity out of millions of births, possibly one time when we are able to be with God, with full awareness that is God. And He allowed us to be with Him and enjoy. Why should I deviate my attention? I should concentrate and focus myself only on Swami and Swami related.
If your focus is on Swami, then everything else will automatically fall into place in your life.
Whether I'm teaching, or like doing Ram Seva work, or the DGP program, or somewhere Swami allowed me to work on with the super specialty hospital project, or little bit with water project. All of them have seen that things happen perfectly, provided you have this concentrated focus.
Our lens should be only on Bhagwan.
Nothing else. So that's one lesson now which I learnt, which made a deep impact on me.
Yeah, please go on, sir. Everything is so profound.
Yeah. This is again an incident which happened in Kodaikanal. One day for lunch, Swami was inviting a few devotees. Possibly, I think I remember it, they must be from Italy. They had come to visit Swami and pray to Swami to allow for some program to be organized in Puttaparthi. Swami was happy, and then Swami also told them, come and join for tiffin. So as is usual, he is a perfect host. So he came before to see whether all arrangements are there. Before retiring, Swami told that, look, take care of things. Everything should be all right, perfectly all right. And told whoever is in charge of things, you know, okay, this should be made, this should be kept, you know, these are the sequence. All that has been instructions were given. So still, as a master, as a top manager, he comes to see whether things are all right. So he comes, looks around, everything seems to be in order. At the end of that dining hall, there's a wash basin. I don't know if this has been narrated at all through your radio site.
Please go on, sir.
Then Swami looked at everywhere and came to that particular location and saw it was unclean.
The wash basin.
In a normal situation, what would anybody would have done? As human beings, I would have called the boys. I said, what I told you to take care of things, is this the way you keep the wash basin? No, you blow your top. You know, we know all these things which happen. But Swami did not do anything. What Swami did was, his sleeve of the robe, right hand robe, he pulled it up, took a scrubber,
oh my God,
and some powder which was there, cleaning powder, and cleaned the wash basin himself. The moment he was picking up and putting, nobody dared to go and say, Swami will do it. Because it had been a worse situation. Swami just cleaned it, washed it, with a towel wiped it, it's dry, without saying anything to anybody, walked back. Couple of things. No detail should be missed. No detail is small. Every detail is needed to make it perfect. Obviously, for that group of Italians who are going to come as guests, Swami wanted them to have the best possible experience, isn't it? He didn't want anything to be amiss. So one thing which I learnt is, when task is assigned, whether details have been told or not, it is your responsibility to conceive, think about all details and see that everything is perfect. And to a large extent, I use this particular idea in my Gram Seva.
There should be nothing missed in the planning. Nothing is small,
nothing is insignificant. Should be coming to a surprise. Array, I did not think about it. No questions about it. You have to be 200% certain about every possible thing.
Every contingency. Everything that possibly can go wrong. You should have thought about it.
Yes. That's one. The second one is, your responsibility is to ensure not only conceive, ensure that everything is perfect. This perfection is the one which Swami likes. You striving for the perfection is what he loves. And doing that is what gives him the greatest joy. And Swami says, my students are my property. Is it a small label given to us? Is it possibly the greatest label anybody can give us, isn't it?
Absolutely. And God himself is telling that, if I have a property, it is you.
So that really again touched me, saying
and
that.
What also occurs to me is, when a task is given, and if you in any way don't live up to it, it is just a loss only for you. God can do it. He will himself do it, or he will do it in a million other ways, or he will do it, the work will go on in spite of you and perhaps in a better manner.
Yeah. Because thing is, if I don't do, there are 1,000 fellows waiting to do it. There are 1,000 people who are there ready to do.
So if you don't want to participate in Swami's mission, it's not that there is a loss to the mission, it's a loss to you.
We lose the opportunity.
We lose the opportunity.
And like I said, I don't know after how many millions times I got this opportunity, should I lose it? Why I'm saying this repeatedly is, all of us who are now living on this planet Earth, maybe other lokas, but I don't know about them, at least about this planet Earth, all of us are blessed. How do we take that particular blessing further? How should we use these particular blessings to something which will elevate us itself, make us to grow ourselves, most importantly, bring about transformation in lives of us and those around us, so that this planet will be a better place to live. So that is the only thing I think now my concern is, how do you bring about this awareness in all the people? When we talk about this, it's not necessary that all of them should land up in Puttaparthi. If 7 billion people come to Puttaparthi, you know what will happen to Puttaparthi?
Yes.
Okay. We're not expecting. But then wherever they are, if they are able to experience Swami and then offer it to him with that type of perfection, that will be a great thing.
Absolutely. That should be the endeavor of every person.
Every person.
Somehow brighten someone else's.
And this, I'm telling you, is possible. I'm sorry for using the word I'm telling you, because my experience is, it is possible to communicate to others only through your practice.
Absolutely. Even if you speak, if you have not practiced, your speech will be empty.
And people are smart, they'll know whether your words are empty or hollow. But more important than that is, if you're able to practice it, you become a better person.
Absolutely.
That's why when Swami used to say, Loka Samastha, one of the things Krishna tells Karna is, that look, if you would have kept all your knowledge for the benefit of the society, you are also part of the society.
Yes.
Along with society, you also will benefit.
Yes.
But you always try to look at that knowledge which you have tried to acquire only for your benefit. Thereby you lost and society also lost your knowledge.
Society also lost your knowledge.
Obviously. People think that, no, I am great in system engineering and cybernetics. Obviously, if I don't share that particular one, of what good is that?
Absolutely.
We can't live in isolation, isn't it? We are part of a society. We are a community. We have to be together. I may be prosperous. If my neighbor is in poverty, do you think I'll be able to live properly? Will I have peace of mind? Will I be able to sleep? If I don't use that, what I have, for his upliftment, of what is all this? What Swami talks about sharing and caring.
Yes.
Is that.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Bishu.
Yeah,
we'll continue it once later.
Yeah, well, you shared 4 lessons today, and each one of them is worth ruminating on, and each one of them can give us direction in our lives. And I think we should spend time thinking about these instances, because every one of us in life, we face a lot of dilemmas, we face a lot of tricky situations, and it is at these points that we need to look at these to give us direction.
There are a lot of challenges we all of us face.
Okay, yes.
Our life is full of challenges. But the thing is, some of these things gives us courage to go forward facing them.
Correct.
Willingly.
Clarity and courage.
Yes.
Wonderful, sir.
That's the one which I thought now will
absolutely.
Be
thank you very much for sharing. And we are definitely going to continue this because we've been talking for an hour. So I would not want to tax you more. And since you are living in Prashanthi Nilayam, we can meet often. And I just hope and pray to Bhagwan that, you know, this session continues and you come once again and share some more of these precious lessons for this special series, Learning with Love. Thank you so much, sir, for coming to the studios.
Sairam. Sairam to all who have been listening to us. Sairam.
Sairam.
Sairam, dear listeners, you just heard part one of Learning with Love. This interview was with Professor Sudhir Bhaskar of the Sri Satya Sai University, and Professor Bhaskar was in conversation with my colleague, Mr. Bishu Prushti. Your feedback is very important to us. We welcome your comments, suggestions and thoughts by email at listener@radiosai.org. So please, take a moment to email us and share with us whatever is on your mind regarding our programs, both on Thursday Live and in general. We are grateful to serve you, and we are very keen to do it right, because when you are pleased for us, our beloved Bhagwan is pleased. Apart from Matro Devo Bhava, Pitro Acharya, Atiti Devo Bhava, for us at Radio Sai, listener also Devo Bhava, or so we believe. You get the point. You, dear listeners, matter a lot to us. It is now time to revisit the cardinal draw of the message of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. From the time he was a little boy, Baba championed the cause of pluralism. Early in his avataric career, he called for an all-inclusive approach to religious diversity when he said, and I quote Baba, "Let the different faiths exist. Let them flourish. Let the glory of God be sung in all languages in a variety of tunes. That should be the ideal." Unquote. And throughout his life, Baba lived this truth. His ashram, Prashantinilayam, is possibly the only place on the planet where thousands from varied faiths, spiritual and cultural traditions celebrate Christmas, Shivratri, Eid, Buddha Purnima with the same love, with the same devotion for God. Today on Morning Glory, we are celebrating the ecumenical gospel, this specific ecumenical gospel of the supreme most teacher to ever appear in the history of humanity, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. And we are all too familiar with Baba's call to respect the differences between the faiths and to recognize them as valid as long as they do not extinguish the flame of unity, he says. Dear sisters and brothers, let's celebrate the all-inclusive vision of the cosmic light that had assumed the form of Bhagwan Baba for a period of 85 years. Let us now enjoy a multi-faith bhajan whose lyrics sum up the vision of Prashantinilayam, the seat of core spirituality that surpasses the boundaries of religiosity. Here now are some multi-faith bhajans from Prashantinilayam in the voices of the British blues singer Dana Gillespie, acclaimed Indian singer and musician Suresh Wadkar, and Swami's beloved students. Have a listen, please.
Thank you. अल्लाह तुम ईश्वर भी तुम महावीर नानक
राम
अल्लाह तुम ईश्वर भी तुम महावीर नानक राम
महावीर नानक
परतीश साई शंकरा तुम ही हो मेरे शा
परतीश साई शंकरा तुम ही हो मेरे शा
परतीश साई शंकरा तुम ही हो मेरे शा
परतीश साई शंकरा तुम ही हो मेरे
तुम ईश्वर भी तुम महावीर नानक अल्लाह तुम ईश्वर भी तुम महावीर नानक
कोई बोले हरी हरी कोई बोले राम राम बोले राम राम कोई बोले दुर्गा काली कोई बोले साई मां कोई बोले दुर्गा काली कोई बोले साई मां
Allah, Bismillah.
एक बोल मन तेरा
Sai Ram. Dear listeners, and welcome back. You just heard a selection of Sarva Dharma Bhajans, a tradition that is unique to the Sai Mission, for Bhagwan Baba taught us that rivers may be many, but the ocean is one. Stars are many, the sky is one. Paths are many, but the goal is one. Before we go any further, let us remind ourselves what Sri Sathya Sai Baba had declared. He said, and I quote him, I have come to light the lamp of love in your hearts, to see that it shines day by day with added luster. I have come to tell you of this universal unitary faith, this spiritual principle, this path of love, this duty of love, this obligation to love. Every religion teaches man to fill his or her being with the glory of God and to evict the pettiness of conceit. It trains us in the methods of detachment and discernment so that we may aim high and attain spiritual liberation. Baba goes on to say, believe that all hearts are motivated by the one and only God, that all faiths glorify the one and only God, that all names in all languages and all forms man can conceive denote the one and only God. His adoration is best done by means of love. Cultivate that attitude of oneness between men of all creeds and all countries. This is the message of love I bring. This is the message I wish you to take to heart. Unquote. Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. Dear listeners, how relevant is this in all fields of life, whether it's business or politics or interpersonal relationships or a workplace or a marriage, everywhere, as long as we remember that everything should be done with the attitude of oneness, I think our lives would be so much simpler. Now, to honor this flame of unity here on Morning Glory, I'm going to play a few more beautiful numbers for you. And as I leave you, till next Thursday when we will meet once again on Morning Glory, I want to say to you, Jai Sai Ram, and have a great day ahead. Please enjoy the rest of the musical segment. Oh, and I'm going to play a Buddham Sharanam Gacchami song for you, but I also want you to pay attention to a very important message from Prashanthi Nilayam so that when you're planning your next visit here, you keep this in mind. Thank you. The 90th year of Bhagwan Baba's divine advent is here. What are you planning to offer at his lotus feet? How about a gift wrapped in red? If you wish to partner with the Sai Healthcare to save a precious life, please take the time to donate blood at the Sri Sathya Sai Super Specialty Hospital whenever you are visiting Puttaparthi. The blood bank is open Monday through Saturday, 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Every single day, patients undergo life-saving procedures here, and a pint of blood can make all the difference. Let's build a favorable blood inventory. If you're a healthy adult, please donate. For more information, please visit psg.sssihms.org.in. Blood, it's in you to give. Please donate. Sai Ram.
Sangham. sharanam gacchami.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai's Thursday Live.
Radio Sai.